This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. It's mentioned in the Bible, and yet it's still the most stigmatized disease in the world, despite the fact that a charity has been working for the last 150 years to eradicate it. What is it, and why is it still with us? Sam Stockhill knows the answers, and he's my special guest today. And the season of Lent begins this week, with its origins in the traditions of the early church, but with a purpose that speaks powerfully to us today. But before we delve into that, let's begin with some music from the pen of Bernadette Farrell. O God, you search me and you know me. All my thoughts lie open to your gaze. When I walk or lie down, you are before me, ever the maker and keeper of my days. The St. Thomas More Group, directed by Frank Brownstead, with Bernadette Farrell's hymn, O God, You Search Me and You Know Me. For the last 150 years, the Leprosy Mission has been working in over 30 countries across Africa and Asia with the same mission, to eradicate the transmission of leprosy, to support people living with the disabilities caused by leprosy, and to conquer the stigma that surrounds the disease that prevents people from coming forward for the diagnosis and the treatment they so desperately need. Here on the island, the Leprosy Mission is a separate Manx-registered charity, but enjoys support from the Leprosy Mission in the UK, with regular visits from the Community Partnerships Manager for the North of England and the Isle of Man, Sam Stockhill. When Sam was on the island last year, he talked very movingly about the years he and his wife Hannah had spent working as missionaries in Nepal, something they'd not planned but felt very strongly that God was calling them to do. After a number of years and thinking of the future for their four now teenaged children, they returned to the UK, where Sam took up his work with the Leprosy Mission. And on the 1st of January this year, Sam and Hannah were blessed with a fifth child, a son called Asher. And so, for family reasons, Sam will be moving away from the Leprosy Mission to take up a position with another charity more local to his home. And when he makes his regular visit here in March, he'll bring with him Catherine Lamport, who'll be taking over as Leprosy Mission representative for the Isle of Man. And we look forward to meeting her in due course. But, Sam says, I'm still going to be supporting and speaking on behalf of the wonderful Leprosy Mission, but now in a voluntary capacity. And Sam says he hopes to do the parish walk next year as a Leprosy Mission fundraiser. Sam and Catherine will be on the island from the 1st to the 8th of March, meeting groups, preaching at services, and of course running the famous quiz and hot pot supper at the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas on Friday, March the 6th. I'll remind you again about that next weekend, but it's teams of up to 8 people with a suggested donation of £12 per person. But in preparation for his March visit, Sam and I have been catching up on the latest stories that show most movingly that the vital work of the Leprosy Mission is needed perhaps more than ever. Let's start with a stark fact. Every 2 minutes, someone is diagnosed with leprosy.
Yeah, every 2 minutes, somebody diagnosed with leprosy. That's over 200,000 people a year. And that's the people that we know about. So these are the people that have been diagnosed, but there's far more people who have not been diagnosed. So the numbers are horrendous, yeah, and the fight has been going on for a long time, and it's going to be going on for many years to come. How do we stop transmission? But the focus also is, how do we care for these people, these 200,000 people every year? How do we ensure that they're not disabled severely by the disease? How do we look after them? And the people who are disabled, how do we give them a quality of life and some dignity back? And it's tragic that it's still at the scale it is, even today. Around half of the new cases in the world are in India. So India has always been a focus for us. But recently we've been focusing on one particular region of India called Odisha, which is a large state in the northeast of India. We've rolled out a really big project in many leprosy colonies within the state of Odisha.
Am I right in saying that Odisha has been very much a forgotten area?
Yeah, it's not been safe for people to work there for international organisations. Around 25 years ago, I think 26 years ago now, a missionary, an Australian missionary called Graham Staines was killed in Odisha alongside his two sons. He had a daughter who was at home with his wife. But Graham was out in the jungle at a camp with his two sons, one who was 10, one who was 6, and the three of them were killed. As a statement by local people that foreign workers, in particular Christians, are not welcome here. And that wasn't the only reason, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, in a sense. But for many international organisations at the time, they said it's just not safe to be here. So it's an area that's been left without foreign aid and without foreign help. Local councils have made some efforts to help people, but they've not received the care that other states in India have. India's already got the highest rates, and Odisha is double the national average. The conditions for people there are horrendous, really. So 87% of people are illiterate, unable to read and write. 96% of people with leprosy have life-changing disabilities from the disease. So they've not been diagnosed quick enough, treated quick enough, and looked after. And they've not been given the skills for self-care to look after wounds and ulcers, which has led to amputations and disabilities. So, I mean, that's a shocking figure, which really kind of sets the scene for why we are making such an effort to be there and to be making a difference. Could I tell you the story of a young girl, Anjali? Young girl in a village in Odisha, had a normal childhood, grew up alongside a brother, wanted to be a nurse, so that was her dream. She was going to school, and she got leprosy. Initially, she didn't know what it was, so she lost the feeling in her hands. She describes one moment where she dropped the pan because her muscles were getting weak from the disease. So she dropped a pan of boiling water on her hand, didn't feel anything. And her family are thinking there's something wrong here. Take her to a doctor. Doctor says it's leprosy, but doesn't give her the cure. Young girl, sent home, said, oh, it's leprosy. And she sent home. But it brings shame upon the family in certain cultures. So her granddad didn't want her around at all. So he's worried now, thinking once the people in the community find out she's got leprosy, we're all in trouble. So I need to do something about that. And he's taken on the responsibility, he thinks, as the head of the home to look after the broader family and to do something about it. So her own granddad made some attempts to kill her, poisoned her rice and other things to try and kill her. Told her things all the time, like, you're a curse. This is a curse from God. You're not a part of this family. We don't want you here. Eventually, he told the rest of the family, like, I'm gonna get her looked after. I'm gonna take her to a hospital. Drove her for hours and hours to one of the leprosy colonies in Odisha. Said, right, we get out here. Got out of the small tuk-tuk, the little three-wheeler taxis. Got out with her and said, we'll see you later. Got back in and left her. So this young girl, Anjali's, left as a very, very young girl, in a completely foreign environment, been told for years at this point she's a curse and not wanted, and now she's been left and cut off from her family. Never saw her family again. And again, not received the treatment, so disabled in her hands. But beyond the physical, just, I mean, can you imagine the trauma? For a young child, when my kids come home from school and say they weren't picked for the football team, or someone laughed at them because they got a question wrong in school, my heart breaks for them, because we know that pain, don't we? I mean, it's a desire of every human to be accepted, and that's why criticism or rejection, it really hurts us, because we're made for community, and family is that place where you're meant to receive that unconditional acceptance. So you go to school, you're left out, but you come home and you know at home you're unconditionally loved and accepted by your siblings, and especially by your parents. But for a young child to feel unwanted by their own family and to be left. So that's not just a dish, that's just across the globe for people today, still the rejection and stigma that they experience. But Anjali's now on one of the colonies, and not to jump too far ahead, but we've started doing a lot of work in her area. So she's gone from this position of just feeling unwanted and forgotten and rejected to now seeing, wow, she does have some value, and these people who came over and said they're going to do all of this great stuff have come back, and they're starting to build homes and provide clean water and give us some dignity back.
Sam, I can see by the look on your face as you're telling me this story how moved you are yourself by it. And it's an absolutely heart-rending story in so many ways. Leprosy is a disease of poverty. It thrives where sanitation is poor, nutrition is poor. But the story of the grandfather and that girl shows the enormous stigma that you've got to battle against. And you have to ask yourself, why did the doctor who diagnosed her not give her the treatment? There's so much that the disease says about human nature, isn't there?
Yeah, and that's why we're still doing the work that we're doing, because doctors should be diagnosing and treating. So we're working with doctors to do that. And like you said, the big issue is stigma. Still the most stigmatized disease in the world. I mean, it's horrendous what the grandfather did, and it's wrong, but I can understand, like you're saying, the pressure that's upon them as a family, them being rejected just for having a child in their home who has leprosy. So that's why we work in educating communities as well around the disease, that it is curable, and once somebody's had the treatment, they're no longer contagious. But those beliefs are really kind of deeply set in societies where leprosy is, and it's very hard to overcome. We don't have any permanent staff from the UK in any of the countries we work in. We want to empower local doctors and local leaders to run all of the projects. So in addition now, we've started training up local volunteers. But once again, it's hard to get volunteers to want to do the work because the stigma that they will face as somebody who's working amongst people with leprosy. So often the stories that we get from the nurses who have been working for as long time is they'll say, I saw a doctor who was working with leprosy patients. I saw the compassion that he had and I was so moved by it. I wanted to do it. But it's a sacrifice for them to be a nurse or to be a volunteer working with leprosy patients because they face stigma too. But we have, yeah, in addition, we've started raising up teams of volunteers, but we want more. We want to train medical professionals, but we want volunteers in regions who can diagnose and treat it as well. So we're not just reliant on hospitals, but the more people that know what leprosy is, know how to diagnose it, and can get people to early treatment, the better the case is going to be. Our goal is to end leprosy. That's what we want to do. So when you look at it from that perspective, you've just got to keep doing what we're doing, which is training medical people to diagnose it quickly and educating communities about it, advocating working with governments, pioneering research. That's a big part of what we do. Maybe it's not as known as some of the other aspects of what we do, but we pioneer a lot of research. So you've got that aspect, but then I do also think of it on the individual level, because you can be overwhelmed with the challenge of ending leprosy. And like you say, we've been going for 150 years and you can think, are we ever going to get to that point? I think of it in terms of the individual. Another story I'll tell you, a young man called Adam in Libya, his own country, Libya, says leprosy doesn't exist in our country. So same symptoms, loss of sensation in his hands, didn't feel pain. He thought he had a superpower when he was young, so he would put his hand in the fire and show off to his friends and that kind of stuff. But then after a while, he started to get serious burns and realized something was wrong. His nose sunk into his face. It's sometimes the case for people if they're not treated. And sent off some pictures to a contact in the UN. And that's where his diagnosis of leprosy came from, because there was nobody around to diagnose him. And his own country say it doesn't exist here. Then he got in touch with someone from the leprosy mission. But for Adam, it was the same story of rejection. He grew up in an Islamic country and his dad said to him, it's a curse from God upon you. And his words are really haunting, because when he shares his testimony, he says, I kept begging my dad, tell me for what sin I'm being punished. Again, the psychology behind that of a young person saying, like, what have I done wrong? You know, why am I being punished? If you're saying this is from God, God's rejected me. You've rejected me. I'm rejected by God. I've done something wrong as well. Just horrific. Then, tragically, he spoke out online about what he was going through and said that this is not right. He posted a picture of himself online and received so much hate because of it. And he didn't go out of his home for a whole year after that. Literally for a year, he was in his house, didn't go outside, didn't see the sun, just stayed inside. Through the contact with the leprosy mission, reached out again, and we got him from Libya into Niger and to a hospital at Danger, where eventually found Jesus. through the love of the medical staff, through the church, connected with the hospital. But just from the acceptance and the love that he was shown, you just see on his face like the joy and the transformation. And also sharing about the words of Jesus, you know, Jesus said, love your enemies and don't repay evil for evil. And he says, those people who treat me wrong, I forgive them. I love them. I'm full of the love of Jesus now. And he's got this incredible testimony. But when I look at someone like Adam, I look at Anjali and the difference in her life now, the new home that she will have, the way her community has been transformed. And that's the way I look at it. And Adam's life has been changed. Anjali's life has been changed. There's a lot of lives that have been changed. And that's the motivation to keep going. Any form of ministry, that's what keeps you going, because you can labour and labour and not see much fruit, but it's just taking a day at a time and really celebrating the small victories.
Thank you, Sam Stockhill, the outgoing Community Partnerships Manager with the Leprosy Mission. And Sam and his successor, Catherine Lamport, will be on the island for a week from the 1st of March. The season of Lent begins later this week with Shrove Tuesday, when pancakes were traditionally eaten to use up all the rich ingredients in the store cupboard before Lent began. 40 days of austerity in preparation for the great feast of Easter, celebrating the death and the rising to life of Jesus Christ at the very heart of the Christian faith. Lent used to be a time to give something up, but is this really the best way to spend these weeks? Is it perhaps better to take on something during Lent? Drawing closer to God is really what Lent is about. Coming to God just as we are, asking the one who loves us unconditionally to reshape and renew us. Lent is a chance to develop a mindset that genuinely wants to know God better and to be more in touch with God in the midst of life. And that's a theme we'll be coming back to in future programs as the weeks of Lent unfold. Talking to different people, getting their point of view. And we begin with Bishop Tricia, who offers us these words that remind us of what Lent is meant to be, a time to honestly take stock of our life. Holy and merciful God, as we step towards this Lenten journey, we do not pretend we are stronger than we are. But you have met your people in deserts before. Meet us there too. Strip away what is false in us, not to shame us, but to free us. Quiet the noise that keeps us distracted from the steady pulse of your love. Teach us to hunger for what truly nourishes. Teach us to release what weighs us down. Teach us to trust that repentance is not punishment, but return. Knit us together in courage and compassion. Let this season be honest. Let it be gentle. Let it be transformative. And when Easter light breaks in, may we recognize it because we have learned how to wait in the dark. In the name of Christ, who walked the wilderness before us and walks it still with us. Thank you to Bishop Tricia for our first Lenten reflection and to my guest today, Sam Stockhill of the Leprosy Mission. And as usual, we end with a look at our notice board. Just two more days to enjoy the Paper Flower Festival in Christchurch in Laxey, open today and tomorrow from 10:30 to 4 p.m. and serving delicious cakes and refreshments. All the exhibits have been lovingly created by the Christchurch Craft and Coffee Group. On to the week ahead now, and as I mentioned earlier, it's Shrove Tuesday this Tuesday, the traditional time to eat pancakes. And if you'd like your pancakes made for you, there's a number of places you can go. Head to Ballyfesson Church Hall in Port Erin on Tuesday between 11:30 and 2 p.m, where they're serving soup and pancakes at £7 each for adults, but it's all free for children. Also on Tuesday, there's Pancake Day Fun in Sulby Methodist Church. They'll be open on Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m, serving pancakes, hot chocolate, coffee, tea, juice, homemade cakes and sandwiches. But that's not all. There'll be crafts, a story corner, biscuit decorating and a treasure hunt. All the activities are free, but there will be charges for refreshments. It's cash only, please, and children must be accompanied by an adult. Also on Tuesday the 17th, there's a coffee morning with a difference in Port Erin Methodist Church. Their coffee morning will this week be a special effort in support of the work of the Leprosy Mission. The kettle will be boiling from 10 till 11:30 with a raffle, stalls including homemade cakes and refreshments. Admission is just £1. On Tuesday afternoon, you'll find pancakes being served in the Abbey Church Hall in Ballasalla between 3:30 and 5 o'clock. There'll be sauces and fruit fillings, hot and cold drinks and toast if you don't want a pancake. Payment is by donation for the charity Water Aid, and you can pay by card if you wish. Everyone is welcome, but children, do please bring a grown-up with you. The Cool Chapel in Braddon are always the first to start their Lenten lunches, and in fact the first one was planned for this coming Thursday, the 19th. But for personal reasons, it's had to be cancelled. At this moment, I'm not sure if there will be Lent lunches at the Cool this year, but you can be sure I'll keep you fully informed as soon as a decision has been made. The very popular multi-instrumentalist Simeon Wood makes a welcome return to the island this week, with two completely different performances for you to enjoy. On Thursday evening in the Cathedral in Peel, under the breathtaking Mars art installation, Simeon presents Forth from the Sun, a mix of glorious music blended with words inspired by the red planet. It starts at 7:15 on Thursday night in the Cathedral. It's completely free and no booking is necessary. Just come along and enjoy. Then on Friday the 20th, Simeon will be in concert in Sulby Methodist Church. You can expect an evening packed with music to suit all tastes, a few stories, interval refreshments and a warm welcome for all. It starts at 7 p.m. on Friday night. There's no need to book. There's lots of space now the church has been reordered. Admission is £10, payable on the door. And the Methodist Church is the one opposite the Sulby Glen Hotel at the crossroads in Sulby Village. Looking ahead now to next weekend, and Saturday the 21st, there's a coffee morning in Orisdale Chapel. That's on the Kirkmichael Loop Road. And the chapel will be open from 10:30. Admission is free, but donations to help with the upkeep of the chapel would be welcomed. And finally, I have the privilege of joining the Mariners Choir in Union Mills Methodist Chapel next Sunday evening at 6:30. Jane Corkill is the soloist and John Riley the organist. And as always, there'll be supper and community hymn singing after the service. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, and I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for a great selection of easy listening music, plus your requests and dedications. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.